Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. This has got to be one of my favorite shows we've done in a while, not just because, you know, I feel so free with the new mask mandates being lifted, but also because I really enjoyed... Oh, Jared, we didn't even finish the Biden piece from the New York Times. We will, I promise. But I also have some great sound cuts that I really want to get to. We have journalism in the news. We have a royal update. We have so many things today. It's just a jam-packed Friday. But first, let's go to the calls. Susan has been waiting for a while. Susan, thank you for coming on the Grace Curley Show. What do you got? Susan.
Hi, Grace.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Grace. What I was calling about is that all these people that have to take their masks off are freaking out because they can't be virtuous anymore and look down their nose at us who don't walk around every day, every minute of the day with a mask on. So I've been walking around outside the whole time with no mask on, especially in the outdoors, and people would walk by me like I was some kind of germ vector, and they were looking at me like, you know, I was doggy do on the bottom of their shoe, and I was looking at them like they were dopes. So I guess, I just went about my business and nothing changed in my life. And I dined indoors as soon as the restaurants opened. I dined indoors the whole time and not a young person. I wasn't afraid. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's the old Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. I'm not afraid anymore. Do you hear me? I'm not afraid anymore. And that's how I felt, too. I mean, I'm young, so I understand it. But I know a lot of people who are older, Susan, who feel the same way. And you're right. It does take away their sense of purpose. You know, you give people power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the fact is that a lot of people, whether it's school boards, teachers' unions, experts, the CDC, politicians, town officials, they got a taste of power in a way they'd never had before. Because none of us have experienced a pandemic in our lifetimes, and they got a taste of this, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. I appreciate the call, Susan. All right. Now, there is a cut here that I would really be remiss if I did not play. It's Senator Josh Hawley. You guys know him. Joe Scarborough and the mainstream media hate his guts because he...
committed the murder of Capitol police officers who had their heads bashed in with American flags
right
during the darkest day in our country's history since the Civil War.
And I think there was also something about him having bird-like bones or something that Joe Scarborough had an issue with.
He set Scarborough off something awful, which is great.
Yeah, and he also has had his book... His book was taken off of one publishing company and then brought onto another. It was actually about censorship, which is, you know... It's rich. It's ironic. But he had this amazing back and forth with DHS Secretary Mayorka in the Post-Millennial cut this up in a really brilliant way. And I want everyone to hear it. I just showed it to Howie. I just can't get enough of it. This is just to remind everyone that we are dealing with serial liars. They are going unfact-checked by the likes of Daniel Dale and Glenn Kessler. But we'll fact check them here at the Grace Curley Show. Cut 13.
You did say that you were not telling you not to come, though, right? You said that. You remember that?
I'm sorry, Senator. I apologize.
You remember saying, don't you, that we're not telling you not to come? Those are your words that you said in a press conference. You said that, right?
I don't recall saying that. I don't believe
you don't recall saying that.
That's correct, Senator. I have never said...
We'd be happy to refresh your memory for you and some questions for the record. I'm sure that is interesting news, and I'm sure everyone will... The Secretary's just said he doesn't have any memory of making those comments.
Cut 14, please. Let's refresh Mayorka's memory.
We are not saying don't come. We are saying don't come now, because we will be able to deliver a safe and orderly process to them as quickly as possible.
Cut 13 again, please, Jerry.
You did say that we're not telling you not to come, though, right? You said that. You remember that?
I'm sorry, Senator. I apologize.
You remember saying, don't you, that we're not telling you not to come? Those are your words that you said in a press conference. You said that, right?
I don't recall saying that. I don't believe
you don't recall saying that.
That's correct, Senator. I have never said.
We'd be happy to refresh your memory for you and some questions for the record. I'm sure that is interesting
happy.
News,
we are
and I'm
happy
sure
to
everyone will. The Secretary just said he doesn't have any memory of making those comments. That's
Senator,
extraordinary.
Senator, I have never said that the border is open.
Huh. Parsing of the words. That is a requirement for all Biden officials. Now, I'm glad that Jared brought up January 6th, 1-6, as some of the people in the mainstream media are calling it, because that leads me to one of my favorite segments on this show. It is time for Journalism in the News.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All righty. Now, it's easy to ignore CNN right now. Their ratings are very, very, very low, and no one seems to be watching, including Grace Curley. I mean, I don't partake in CNN or MSNBC. I don't watch that at night. I don't know anyone who does. I knew some people who would be at airports sometimes who would catch it on occasion, but even the airports got rid of it. So I haven't met a one person who's watching CNN. But because of social media, some of the more outrageous cuts do come across my desk. Now, this is Don Lemon on CNN being his dramatic self. There's no shortage of hyperbole when it comes to the way Don Lemon will describe things. Take a listen to Journalism in the News, Don Lemon, Cut 5.
I spoke with a Republican lawmaker last night, and he told me during the commercial break, he said, listen, I fought in the war, Denver Riggleman. He said, I went to war. And he said, but the difference was, is that I didn't have people denying the realities of war or denying my experience. And what happened at the Capitol was nothing less than war. As I said, hand-to-hand combat.
They got to let this go. You guys got to let this go. You can't milk this any more than you already have. We all said it was bad. We all condemned the violence. We all said those people were losers who did what they did. But you guys are trying to turn this into something that it's just not. And it's sad, because the truth is that if Don Lemon actually turned on his computer and looked at some actual news, he would see that there's plenty to talk about. There's gas lines, there's hacking, there's actual hacking with Russian hackers. There's all sorts of stuff. There's inflation, there's lockdowns, there's Israel-Palestine. I mean, this, back in my day, this used to be big news, what's happening.
And I think the message is finally getting through, because they decided to put their 1-6 commission together today, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And this is Rep. Louis Gohmert from Texas, when he was on the floor talking about the insurrection.
You know, I just want the president to understand there have been things worse than people without any firearms coming into a building.
Boom.
Wow, Louis Gohmert, that is a bold statement, because according to President Joe Biden, January 6th was the worst thing since the Civil War.
Nancy Pelosi's laptop was taken. Come on.
Representative Ted Lieu had to grab a crowbar. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. Nope, it was a crowbar. It was a nutrition bar. Okay. AOC was... Oh, wait, what was that? She wasn't in the building? Never mind. Moving along. I do have a interesting royal update, which we have not done in a while, but it's going to be a new segment of the show. So let's give them some royal news.
I wish a lot of luck to Harry, because he's going to need it.
The famously insane European monarchies of the 19th and 20th centuries.
Hello, cheeky. You is much fitter than you look in them coins.
All righty. Actually, Prince Harry, now we just call him Harry, formerly known as Prince Harry. He did a podcast. He's doing a lot of podcasts now. You might call it a downgrade from being a prince to doing celebrity podcasts, but hey, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Madame Tussauds is moving the Harry and Meghan waxworks away from the royal family. Now, the London Museum is set to reopen on May 17th as England releases from coronavirus restrictions. The life-size wax figures will be moved to the awards party zone to stand by the likes of George Clooney. Oh, so they're moving to the celebrity area. They're moving from the royal area to the celeb. Wow. I can't decide if this is woke or kind of shady of Madame Tussauds. It feels like she's giving them the boot. She's like, if you don't want to be part of the royal family, you'll not be part of the royal wax family either. Okay? You don't get to enjoy the perks of being in the royal section of Madame Tussauds. You'll be over there with the B-list celebrities from America.
I've never heard of such a brutal and shocking injustice that I cared so little about.
What, people don't care about wax figures? That's not top news today? It's Friday. All right, guys, I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. You know that. We always get great spreads, but without a doubt, nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. And Jared, I'm not lying when I say this food is top notch.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's among the best food I've ever had, honestly. And I'm not being hyperbolic here. The pizza, it might be my favorite pizza.
The farmhouse
ever.
Pizza is farmhouse so pizza yummy.
Farmhouse pizza is so good.
It's like sweet but salty and delicious.
It hits everything. Home run.
And I also just want to let people know they have so much different food, whether you like eggplant milanese, spaghetti, everything, bolognese, sandwiches, like Jared said, pizza, calamari. There's something for everyone. And if you have a sweet tooth, I highly recommend their tiramisu. It is out of this world. I select a winner every other Friday, and you've guessed it. Today is that Friday. Now, before we do the drum roll here, I want to let people know, because I've gotten a lot of questions. People want to buy tickets. Unfortunately, that is not an option right now for the Grace Curley Show. It will be at some point. But if you want to win this, this is all you have to do. You go to gracecurlyshow.com. There'll be a little drop-down bar. You enter your email. It's totally free, and then you're entered to win the Aviva VIP in-studio lunch / experience with the Grace Curley Show. So do that. Go to gracecurlyshow.com. Now, also, before I pick the winner, see, I'm building suspense here, Jared. Before I pick the winner, I want to let people know you can go to Aviva even if you don't win my contest. And they have 4 convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. They're a great, great company, great restaurant, great employees there. They're all so nice. The food is amazing. The service is phenomenal. Okay, now, I've made you guys wait long enough. Drum roll, please. The winner of the Grace Curley VIP experience is... I always miss... Rick! You know, I don't know what it is, Jared. I can't get the drum roll timing right. It's like, I think I'm doing it right, and then I miss the beat. Rick is the winner. I'll send him off an email today. Congratulations, Rick. You and a very special guest will be able to come in for the Aviva VIP experience. So for everyone else to enter to win, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. We will be back with some of your calls. And I'm going to finish off this New York Times piece on Joe Biden. We go through the list of groceries that are in his kitchen. I know you do not want to miss this. And then we have Jared Diglio with Producer's Picks at 2:30. We will be right back.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. I don't say that enough on Fridays. Happy, happy Friday. I'm going to enjoy a nice cocktail tonight, perhaps a margarita. And I hope everyone has a lovely weekend full of smiles and fresh air and as little Karen interaction as possible. And, you know, I know we say this sometimes, Jared, but you got to feel for people whose names just happen to be Karen because they didn't ask for this. You know, they didn't ask for the Karen life.
Well, they shouldn't have worn their hair that way. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, man. Chauvinistic man right there. Mike, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace, how you doing? I'm amazed I got on so fast, but I'm calling from D.C., actually suburban Virginia. I'm from Boston, but we're paying $7 a gallon here, and 87% of the stations in D.C. don't have gas. And I blame it squarely on Trump because I don't think he was serious about cybercrime. I don't think he was tough with the Russians.
Oh, boy, Mike. I guess.
Am I misguided?
Yeah, I feel a little bit like, why didn't this happen then under Trump? Why did it take...
Because cyber attacks take quite a while to develop. It's, you know, you can't just do a cyber attack overnight. They've been planning this, obviously, for several years.
But,
and Trump was asleep at the switch.
Mike, Trump was in there for 4 years. Do you think it just happened to happen 5 months into Biden's presidency? You don't think that maybe the you don't think that maybe some of these foreign leaders think, or foreign hackers maybe think, well, he's never going to punish us, which he didn't. He said, you know, the company can decide whether or not they want to pay the ransom or negotiate with them. So I just don't buy that at all. I mean, at a certain point, Mike, people have to start. Doesn't he shoulder the responsibility of anything? He gets credit for absolutely everything that goes right. The vaccine, the distribution, the cases going down, all due to Joe Biden. And yet there's a hacking on his watch with the Colonial Pipeline, and that's Trump's fault? I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Okay, but I think, you know, you make a good point. I agree with you. I'm not a total Biden fan either. But what I think happened, though, is that the Russians, because they're totally in bed with Trump, did not want to do this on Trump's watch. They want to discredit Biden. So that's why they did it right now. But they've had it set up for, I'm sure, a couple of years.
All right. So my next question has to be, why do you think the Russians are totally in bed with Trump?
Why do I think? Because I read the papers and because I you know, follow the news. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Could you get more specific?
All along, they didn't have, yeah, well, why didn't they allow, why didn't they publish a transcript of his conversation with Putin, for example?
Oh, do you think that we got a lot of information about Biden's conversation with Putin when he said, Peter Ducey said, what do you and Putin talk about? He said, we talked about you. I mean, that's what you're going off of? Is that what the papers were reporting? That because they didn't publish the transcript that Trump's in bed with Putin?
Well, I mean, I think he never called out many of the crimes in Ukraine. I actually spent some time in eastern Ukraine. And, you know, the Donbass has been totally taken over by the Russians. Trump did nothing about that. Didn't even
Hold on. I got to stop you right there. He was impeached for calling out crimes in Ukraine. That was what the whole impeachment was about, the second one. Remember, we had the first one, then we had the second one?
Okay, explain that to me, please, because I'm not following your thing. I mean, I think you're a very smart person. I'm a first-time caller. And actually, the only reason I'm calling is because I have a right-wing friend in Boston who's nuts and told me about your show, so I just figured I'd call in. But you're actually much more reasonable than I thought you'd be. But I don't follow the rationale about the second impeachment being for not calling out Ukraine.
Well, if you look into the phone call about what he was looking into in Ukraine, and if you actually look at the Joe Biden video of him explaining that he threatened to fire the head prosecutor in the Ukraine, or he threatened to withhold money from the Ukraine if the head prosecutor didn't get fired, the prosecutor who was looking into a business that his son worked for, then that's what Trump was calling about. He didn't like the shadiness of it all, and he got impeached for it. And they didn't have anything to go off of, obviously. That's why it didn't work out for them. But you got to look at what the actual impeachment was about. And I do appreciate you calling in. You telling me you read the papers, and that's why you know Trump was in bed with Putin. What do you read, the New York Times? All these papers that had to do updates and retractions on the Russian bounty stories? Maybe I'm off here. I don't know. Thank you for the call, Mike. Keep listening. I do appreciate it. We'll be back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Yeah, and a lot of people had an issue with that, including Donald Trump. A lot of people thought that maybe there was something more to that story. And when Donald Trump tried to look into it, he was impeached for it. And I just want to say, I do love having callers who are either new to this world or disagree. I think it's awesome. I encourage people to call in and keep listening. I appreciate callers like Mike, like Chris, people who disagree. That's where we learn things. But you got to be a little more specific than I read the papers, because I don't trust the papers. Maybe I'm old school now. Maybe I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but these papers have had more mistakes and more corrections and more updates than I can handle at this point. More anonymous sources, more rewrites, more anonymous quotes. I don't buy it. You give me a fact, maybe we'll talk about it. But just saying I read the papers is not enough. Now, let's go. First, we're going to go to the poll question, and then we are going to finish off with this Joe Biden story, because I think I saved the best part for last. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Allergy season is here and you need the Thunderstorm air purifier. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE to save $10 off their lowest sale price. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who had the wackiest no more masks response? Joe Biden, you've earned the right to smile. Joe Scarborough, who'll still wear masks on planes, Nicole Wallace, who says we need to carry our burden for society, or Rachel Maddow, who needs to rewire her brain.
Rachel Maddow takes the cake on this. If you haven't listened to the cut, I can't play it again. It's too insane, but you should listen. She sounds wackier than when she was talking about the Russia hoax.
41% say Rachel Maddow, definitely.
All right, now we have to finish off this beautiful piece. It's called Beneath Joe Biden's Folksy Demeanor, a Short Fuse and an Obsession with Details. Mr. Biden is usually back in the residence by 7 p.m. for dinner with the First Lady. The president likes pasta with red sauce.
$1.2 billion. So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who runs the brings out the carts on a forklift.
While the First Lady prefers grilled chicken or fish. In the Vice President's residence, the staff was instructed to keep the kitchen stocked with vanilla chocolate chip Häagen-Dazs ice cream, Special K cereal, one bunch of red grapes, sliced cheese, 6 eggs, sliced bread, one tomato from the garden, and at least 2 apples on hand at all times.
That is a supremely Joe Biden numbering there.
Mr. Biden's drink of choice, orange Gatorade. The staff was told not to serve leafy greens at events because Mr. Biden did not want to be photographed with any leaves in his teeth. After dinner, the president sometimes continues his deliberations on the phone with a circle of senior aides that has expanded over time.
And the more people are fully vaccinated, the CD will continue to provide additional guidance on what you can do in the workplace, places of worship with your friends, as well as travel.
Now, I do have to say, something I find quite interesting is that he's got vanilla chocolate chip Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Jenny's ice cream, which you guys remember because it's Nancy Pelosi's very, very expensive ice cream that she keeps in her very, very expensive freezer. Jenny's has a flavor dedicated to Joe Biden. They created a flavor of ice cream for him. And yet, he goes to Haagen-Dazs. Kind of feels like a slap in the face to Jenny's.
Yeah, basically what he did for the unions, he's doing for Jenny's ice cream.
Well, yeah, and the Keystone Pipeline workers.
Yes, Keystone Pipeline workers, all that.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. All right, so back to this mask stuff. Actually, Jared, do you want to do producer's picks here, or should I just keep going? All right, cool. It is time for producer's picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, producer's picks.
All right, this is the time of the show where Jared goes through all of his favorite stories. Go ahead, Jared.
All right, we're going to do a little bit of an abbreviated producer's picks here so we can get back to it. But this is a story that the captain is going to be all over later. And actually, he tweeted about this a couple weeks ago, so he was one of the first people to be put onto this. But the CBS Boston Channel 4 I-Team did an investigative report, and they found out that in Dorchester, Boston police officers have been taken off their patrols to guard Marty Walsh's old house.
They've been taken off.
Yes, they're normal. They're not working overtime. And I got some Cheryl Fiandaca clips. She's the reporter that that was on this. But yes, so the police, the Dorchester police, are on their regular shifts, but they're being taken off their patrols to sit in cars in front of Marty Walsh's house.
Interesting.
Boston police didn't tell us why Walsh's home needed security, but did say during the Obama administration, Boston police were a visible presence at Secretary of State John Kerry's Beacon Hill home. In Walsh's case, the officers sitting in marked cruisers are working their regular shift and are taken off patrol to keep an eye on his house.
What's going on? And actually, they spoke to former Police Commissioner Ed Davis, and he's a little baffled as well.
We've never seen that before. So the fact that a protection detail is assigned to a former mayor, I don't think that's happened in the past. In the past, we've protected various senators and congresspeople, but it was usually around a specific threat, but that's certainly something that is usually a federal responsibility.
Interesting.
Yes, I don't know if Marty has bad plumbing and they're afraid of floods or what's going on there. But
we should call his mom like Joe Biden did. By the way, can I just issue a little update / correction?
Sure.
When I said the impeachment, I meant the first impeachment. The second impeachment was actually the most.
Yeah, that was the
insurrection. Right. I get my impeachments confused. There were so many.
There were so many.
My apologies to Mike. If you are going to do a little research, Mike, go for the first impeachment, not the second impeachment. Have fun.
Mayor Janey said she's glad there's no police overtime for protecting Marty Walsh's house and that this is a federal government matter. So there you go. But yes, your tax dollars are going to protect Marty Walsh's empty. I mean, Marty, just get a house sitter.
Yeah, I'll do it. Depending on the pay.
All right. So have you heard about the Call for American Renewal?
No.
Okay. This is...
Does it have something to do with climate change?
It does not. This is an association of over 100 Republicans who have stated that because the Republican Party is so tied to Trump...
Oh, this is like the 150 Republicans?
Yes, they will be exiting the party, and they're threatening to exit the party and start their own third party. Among the founding signatories of this esteemed group of Republicans, Miles Taylor, who you'll remember was apparently the anonymous,
yes,
who penned that whatever for the New York Times.
You guys remember that the New York Times had this piece from Anonymous that was like this high up Trump official, and people all were guessing who wrote this slanderous piece about Trump. You know, who betrayed him? Is it Kellyanne Conway? Is it Ivanka? Is it Jared? Is it Melania? And then it turned out it was this guy nobody had ever heard of.
Yeah, some schlub. Miles Taylor is one of the signatories on this one, as is Joe Walsh, heavy-hitting Republicans such as Evan McMullen, George Conway, and Anthony Scaramucci.
Not George Conway!
When you have lost George Conway.
No!
You have lost.
Oh, speaking of that, this might be in your producer's picks, Jared, but I don't want to forget it. Did you see that the Lincoln Project is changing their name?
Oh, no!
They're doing a complete rebrand.
Are they going to become the Roosevelt Project?
You like popsicles?
Yeah, no, they're... Did you actually know that?
Oh, no, I didn't. I just assumed because...
The Franklin Project.
Oh, the Franklin. Good Lord.
And people were just completely dunking on these guys because...
Would you like to come inside for a cupcake and a glass of wine?
It's so obvious that they're just trying to avoid the reputation they now have courtesy of John Weaver, that they're absolute creeps. And they think that, have you ever heard of a company that makes millions and millions of dollars, a grift, and then decides to change their name unless it's absolutely necessary? It says, okay, wait, hold on, here it is. The Franklin Project launching soon. And this guy goes, that feeling when you have to change your name because when people search your name, they see it as founded by creeps. We call that in the biz a rebrand.
Yikes. Got a couple on this day. On this day in 1948, Israel was declared as an independent state.
Awesome.
So, let's enjoy that while we can. 1955, the Warsaw Pact was signed by the eight communist bloc countries, which of course led to the formation of the United Nations. So, yikes. Happy birthday, Gronk. Gronk turns 32 years old today. He was born in 1989. And happy day of creation to Mark Zuckerberg, built on this day in 1984.
I am an android mistress, though anatomically I am a male.
Oh, jeez. Jared, what? It's his birthday. That's how we wish him a happy birthday.
It's his creation anniversary. The switch was flipped on this day in 1984.
You know what?
Probably by Bill Gates.
Speaking of
the Franklin Project.
I just have to say here, Jared, I'm looking at Fox News, and there's the story I read earlier about Andrew Cuomo, you know, not backing down. He's not ready to take his mask off yet. He must have got that idea from Rachel Maddow. But I do want to play this cut here before we bring on Howie Carr. Cut 8, please.
I never said anything that I believed was inappropriate. I never meant to make you feel that way. You may hear it that way. You may interpret it that way. And I respect that. And I apologize to you if I said something you think is offensive.
According to the law, the harasser's intention is doesn't matter.
Yes, but...
I apologize for if you made someone feel uncomfortable. I'm just wondering if you acknowledge that according to the law, that doesn't matter and would still be considered...
Harassment is not making someone feel uncomfortable. That is not... harassment. If I just made you feel uncomfortable, that is not harassment. That's you feeling uncomfortable.
Oh, boy.
You sure about that, Gov?
He's turning, in front of our very eyes, he is turning into Michael Scott. Except for, like, less charming, less lovable. He's having all of these conversations that he should be having, maybe, with a lawyer, if I'm being generous, in the privacy of a closed room, a soundproof room, and he's having them with reporters. Sexual.
I knew exactly what to do, but in a much more real sense, I had no idea what to do.
He is Michael Scott. There is no doubt. The Michael Scott sexual harassment episode pales in comparison to what this guy is all about. I mean, it is just... the lack of self-awareness, the confidence on this man is stunning. Imagine his lawyer, though. His lawyer just must be sitting there going, oh my God, I told him. I told him not to take questions, told him not to answer. Can't help himself. All right, so when we get back, I want to talk to Howie about a lot of things, but he's going to give us an update on Jaisal Correa. And we have a lot more to get to as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday. We're feeling good. Masks are off. And this is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We've had a great Friday here at the Howie Carr Radio Network, and I'm going to pass off this New York Times story to Howie, but not before I read this one quote one more time. After the meeting, Joe Biden pulled Mr. Zients aside and gave him a set of instructions. It doesn't specifically say in the writing that he whispered this, but I'm just going to assume. Bring me the news. Good, bad, and ugly. Any reaction, Howie?
Well, the headline sort of gave away the story when it said Joe Biden demands the details.
Yeah, obsession. He has an obsession with details, not about where he is, what state he's in, what time it is, you know, getting the numbers right, but he's obsessed with details.
Okay, where am I here? Let me see.
The only part of the story I really believed, Howie, was that he hates acronyms.
Well, it would certainly seem that anything that gave him that much trouble. Yes.
All right. So, Howie, what we really want to talk about right now, because you're the expert on all things local news, especially what's going on with Jaisal Kuria.
Jaisal Kuria, the former mayor of Fall River today, he was on trial for 24 counts of corruption. Taylor said to me, the first count has come in guilty. I said, that's the start of a trend. Taylor, here's my prediction. And he said, what's the over under 24 counts? I said, 24. Actually, he was only convicted on 21 counts. He didn't get convicted of shaking down his female assistant for 50% of her paycheck, because they didn't put her on the stand. And he beat another rap. He beat the Batman watch rap.
He did? That was one of the ones he beat?
Yes, that was one of the three he beat.
Wow. But you said 24, he only got convicted of?
21.
Well, you know what they say. Shoot for the moon and at least you land among the stars.
Yeah. You know what I used to do? I used to, when I'd do live shots covering a federal trial, there would always be 5 years per count. And so I remember covering a guy, a ward boss in City Hall. If convicted of all 28 counts, Mr. Toomey could get 140 years in prison. And I used to say that's the way I'd wrap up my live shot every night. And finally, one day he comes in and says, Howie, please. Please, you know me a long time. Can you give me a break? Every time you say 140 years, my wife starts wailing.
Oh, Howard.
So I stopped.
Yikes. What do you think is going to happen with Jaisal?
I think 5 to 8, I'm going to predict. I don't know. I don't know what the exact formula is, but he's never been convicted of anything before. So that plays a large part in how much he gets. They're going to have a press conference with the police commissioner today. The acting mayor is probably going to get rid of the police commissioner today. Dennis White, who's been suspended for all these months, I think the handwriting's on the wall.
I just want to say, as a fellow friar to Jaisal, I think sometimes Providence looks at me and goes, where did it all go wrong? She's a rabid right-wing talk show host, but I'm not Jaisal.
Speaking of Providence, Grace, you know that that state police officer we've been talking about who lost his gun down in Providence while he was spending the night with a woman he wasn't married to? We got the 23-page report today.
Wow. It's a big day in Howie Harland. You know how you can tell it's a big day? Because that was an evil laugh he just did, which means he's in a very good mood.
I am.
Do not miss his Friday show. Thank you so much to everyone for listening this week. Check out my latest piece at spectator.us. It's all about the teachers' unions, and I think you guys are going to like it. Howie Carr comes up next.